The Defense Department is showing negative side effects from a rough transition to a new healthcare contractor in the western United States. Those side effects are because of a $21 billion contract award to a healthcare administration company that's new to the TRICARE system. Deborah Draper's director of healthcare issues at the Government Accountability Office. She's writing about cost overruns and healthcare delays cropping up because of TRICARE management not paying close enough attention to the company's transition process. Deborah, thanks for being on the program this afternoon. You looked at the way that the TRICARE management activity provided guidance and oversight to the transition from the old contractor to United Health, and you looked at whether the guidance helped or hurt the transition process. Tell me specifically what you were asked to take a look at in this transition, Deborah.
Okay, well, DoD contracts with private sector companies known as managed care support contractors to perform a variety of functions, including the development and maintenance of civilian provider networks. And this is them to supplement its direct care system and military treatment facility. So the current managed care support contracts were scheduled to be awarded in 2009, but bid protests in each of TRICARE's three regions delayed the awards. And the contract in the West region was the last to be awarded, and it went to United Healthcare, as you said, an organization that was new to TRICARE. And it started providing services on April 1st, 2013, but the transition did not go smoothly. And that's why we were asked to take a look at this situation.
A couple of the things you pointed out, Deborah, TMA didn't ensure, according to this report, that its outgoing and incoming contractors used the same version of transition guidance, so they really were not working on the same page, it sounds like.
Well, that's right, and what happened is that contributed to delay in the development of United Health's provider network, which is key to making this all work. United did not have all of its network providers into its database until 4 months after the contract deadline, which really resulted in referrals and claims related to these providers being put on hold until the data entry could be completed. And part of this was because the outgoing contractor was to provide a provider database to the incoming contractor, in this case, which was United, but there was no guidance on how that file should come in, and it came in, and it was really not usable. It took a while for that to be put into usable shape. So what this resulted in there were primary care providers for more than 100,000 beneficiaries, and for some of those beneficiaries, they had to be temporarily reassigned to other primary care providers.
The disruption there in somebody's life is obvious when you are moved from one primary care provider to another. You also write, TMA's guidance lacks sufficient specificity for some requirements, such as the development of a referral management system that could interface with the referral systems used by the region's military treatment facilities. What's the potential downside of that? What were the consequences of that, Deborah?
Well, that was probably one of the most significant issues in the transition, and TRICARE has a unique referral process that provides military treatment facilities with the right of first refusal when certain TRICARE beneficiaries are referred for specialty care, and this is really a practice that helps maximize the use of the military's direct care system. So what a contractor needs to have is a referral management system that can electronically interface with the referral management systems of the region's military treatment facilities to facilitate this process. And what we found is at the start of healthcare delivery, when United took over the providing services, there existed only a fax referral system, and which contributed to lengthy processing delays along with the higher than expected number of referrals and really staff who were not as efficient as anticipated. So, for example, United expected a staff to process about 7,000 referrals a day, but during the first few days of when United took over, it processed about 2,500. So, in May of 2013, TRICARE issued a temporary waiver of the referral authorization requirements, which lasted a couple of months. And what officials told us that this resulted in over $1 million in lost resources because more beneficiaries sought treatment from civilian providers rather than from the military treatment facilities.
Deborah, there are two things that I pulled together in this report, and maybe I'm connecting them in a way that I shouldn't, and I wonder if you can clarify that for me. In one part of this, you write about some of these problems that we've discussed already, and you write that the transition guidance issue resulted in problems that were left largely to the contractors to resolve. In another part of this report, you write the TRICARE management activity lacked a process for holding the contractor accountable when transition requirements were delayed or not met. met. And if I combine the two of those, the result is that it sounds like TMA essentially said, you guys figure this out on your own, and if you don't get it right, there's nothing we can really do about it. Am I connecting those two inappropriately, or am I on the right track there?
No, you're on the right track. And what TMA told us, and that which is now the Defense Health Agency, it was TMA when we looked at this, but you know, they looked at it in terms of the type of contract that was used for these managed care support contractors. They use performance-based contracts, which means that most, but not all, the contract requirements include an expected outcome, and it's really up to the contractor to determine how to achieve that outcome. So they felt like, TMA felt like they could not hold the contractor accountable until some requirement was actually missed. But the problem with that was that, you know, up until transition, they were not the issues in the transition period really contributed to problems with when services started to be delivered. And we believe that even no matter what type of contract is involved, you know, in this case, a performance-based contract structure, it really doesn't diminish their responsibility for providing sufficient oversight to ensure the contractor is performing as required.
Can we break this down before we go on to some of the other things that you found? Can we break the part of it that we've discussed so far, Deborah, down to where we can usually break it down in other defense contracting issues, and that's a requirements problem? It sounds like a lot of the root of this was in requirements that were at best unclear.
Well, it's requirements, but I think that probably a larger degree, it's the oversight that was provided, and really taking timely action and really holding the contractor accountable.
You write, TMA's inadequate guidance and insufficient oversight, as we've discussed so far, contributed to problems with healthcare delivery. And ultimately, that's the mission here, is to provide health benefits, healthcare to men and women in uniform and their families. The process itself isn't the end result. What did you see as a result of the issues here as far as actually providing that care to the people who were supposed to get it?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, sometimes care was delayed. There was, you know, people, beneficiaries being shifted to other providers and then reshifted back to their usual provider once that provider had been entered into the database. You know, we saw issues with the call centers where calls were not being answered in a timely manner. I mean, to give you an example, United expected about 24,000 calls a day, and these were to be answered. 90% were to be answered within 30 seconds. However, you know, what happened was that the actual calls answered within 30 seconds ranged from a low of about 2,000 to about a high of 16,000. So a lot of people were calling in, but they weren't able to get the assistance that they needed. So,
and you're right, it wasn't until the third month of United being on this contract that they were able to meet the 90% within 30 seconds requirement.
Right.
What happened to them as a result? I mean, you write about some penalties, corrective action requests and financial penalties. To what extent what happened exactly?
Well, after the April 1st start of healthcare delivery, TMA began, you know, more active oversight of the contract. And they actually did, within 5 days of healthcare delivery, they did issue formal requests for action. So, and this was on it, so they did step up their oversight. But the interesting thing is that United had a transition payment of $10 million, you know, once all of its transition requirements were met. And they were paid the $10 million despite the fact that all the transition requirements were not met within the established timelines.
And that's something interesting for us to take a look at on our end. You told us at the beginning that this happened in the West region. There are two other regions, the North and South region. What's the status there, and what happened? Have they gone through similar transitions in the past, or is this a new process that the Defense Department is adjusting to?
Yeah, the issue here is that in the North and the South regions, those were both incumbents that were awarded the contracts. The West region was a non-incumbent, and TRICARE was new. United Health was new to TRICARE, so we believe that a lot of the transition was related to the guidance not being specific related to non-incumbent contractors.
Deborah, thanks for this insight and for talking about your work. I appreciate your time today.
Okay, well, thanks for the opportunity to be here.
Deborah Draper is Director of Healthcare Issues.